Hello, my beautiful friend. Hi. I'm not having any actual music at the moment. However, I think I did this last week too. I want to share with you some beautiful wind chimes. Thank you, Ren. Ren sent these a few months back, and they're so beautiful. And it says on them, I just feel like reading to you, there's a hummingbird, and she says, "Listen to the wind and think of me. I'm always in your heart." And Ren had sent that to me. I had a series of deaths, including one of our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful members of our group coaching program, Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. And I've not come inside because it was a little too cold to be out there, but I hope you got to hear those beautiful chimes. It's fun to think of what else is music in our lives, you know, besides actually me going and playing a quote unquote song. I know sometimes when I've been at my mom's and I've recorded for you, we get to hear the birds. It's got to be some other quote unquote musical things. At the moment, my mind is a little blank. I'm going to tell you in full honesty, well, of course, that's such a dumb statement. Of course, in full honesty, what else would I do? This week, I know I've told you in previous audios to our Love Grams that my little kitty, Pop-Tart, had been not doing very well. She had to have some teeth pulled, and when they did that, they found out that she had mouth cancer and had been given not a very good prognosis. And as it turned out, it did progress really quickly. And so the reason I sound low today is because we did have to have her euthanized just 2 days ago. And my heart is so broken. I know that there's a lot of you out there who either have animals in your family or you have had animals in your family at some point, or maybe you are a friend to someone who has animals in their family, and you know how just what a humongous role they play in our lives. And I shared with you last year when little Zoe died, who was Pop-Tart's friend and our other little furry family member. We'd had both of these kitties from the time they were little. So my son was still fairly young when he picked both of them out. And so, you know, they've just been a part of our family for, Pop-Tart was 16, Zoe was 17. So many, many, many years, almost two decades. And wow, it's amazing how, just how tender my heart is. I'm going to go play some more of the wind chimes for you just to have a little bit of, you know, that idea of pinpricks of light, right? When I see these, you know, that little hummingbird at the bottom of the wind chimes. I'm also looking, we have an acacia tree that has just really been thriving. And there's something about that beautiful, full, robust acacia that it just has really taken to life that is also a big pinprick of light. And you guys know me, right? Like, it's the way I survive. I think of pinpricks of light as stepping stones that, you know, my heart may be broken. Whenever I go in the house, it's so terrible. I'm still always looking. I mean, I had barely stopped looking for Zoe, to be honest. And now I always like walk in the house because I'm so used to checking to see where Pop-Tart is and giving her a big cuddle. So my heart is tender, and I'm always on the lookout for other resting spots. So that in between the tears, in between the feeling the missing of her, I'm also experiencing, just like we just did together, right? There's the acacia tree and it's actually waving. My Zen teacher once taught me to ask trees, I love you, do you love me? And when I look out right now at the acacia and it's very enthusiastically waving at me. And that is a bright spot. So not to be Pollyanna, Although I'm not sure, I don't really know if Pollyanna, is Pollyanna the same as spiritual bypassing? Is it the same as toxic positivity? I don't know, but I'm always trying to allow myself to feel all of it, right? To feel, I don't want to quote unquote force myself to not grieve my little kitty. At the same time, I'm also practicing something I told you, I think this was maybe last month when I was talking to you about sometimes I'd like to replace the word grief with love. And that's an interesting experiment to say, I'm loving Pop-Tart right now. I'm really loving her. I'm loving her. It does a little something different in my brain that connects me to her rather than feeling as if she's gone. So I've also been practicing that the last couple of days, especially at night, because little sweet Pop-Tart always slept with me, and it's crazy the hole that is left by these little creatures who are just all unconditional love. So this is where I am in the moment, pretty much where I've been for actually a number of months now, which is navigating feelings of many losses and also celebrating the stepping stones of light in between. And one of those is people, right? That I've had some amazing conversations where people just show up ready to receive whatever is here in the moment. And that's such a gift. And I wanted to talk to you, probably not for a long time, but briefly about one of those interactions this week. I had scheduled a live conversation on Facebook/LinkedIn with someone I met at a women's retreat a couple weeks ago. Her name is Brooke, and she was also a facilitator. I was facilitating, and she was too, and she's a functional nutritionist. And I just loved her instantly. One of the reasons why is because, first of all, she just has a great energy and a great spirit. And I noticed instantly her generosity. So she would, every time I would overhear her talking to someone, she would be sharing some snippet of something with people that would be helpful. You know, it might be something she knew about, you know, a supplement, or it might be how to filter your water, or, you know, the benefits of this or that, or, you know, some little known, inexpensive remedy for something. I just loved that she was constantly sharing her wisdom so freely. And I asked Brooke if she wouldn't mind getting on a live conversation with me, specifically to talk to a group of people who really, really need to take care of themselves, which is people who are caregiving. And I don't know if anyone listening here, if you are a caregiver, I want to give you a special shout out and a special hug and a special huge burst of love, because it really takes so much, not just the logistics and the physicalness of caring for someone, but of course also the psychic and psychological connection to being with someone, you know, whether it's their last days are weeks or months or years. And so I'd asked Brooke, I said, you know, I've just been very interested, you know, my last book is an end of life planner. And part of that end of life planning is really looking at death, pre-death, at illness and the phases that come before we pass away. And there's so much in that. And so I'd asked Brooke, like, hey, could we just get on a quick conversation and maybe give some basics for people who are caregiving to take care of themselves? But as I'm talking about this, you know, don't turn this off if you're not a caregiver, because of course, everything that she and I talked about in regards to people who are caregiving is true for all of us, right? We all deserve to really take care of ourselves and to focus on our self-care. One, because we deserve to have healthy bodies, and two, because that really serves us emotionally as well as physically. And three, because we do want to be of, you know, able to offer love and joy and service to other people in our lives. And in order to do that, we need to have good health and good energy. And so this is just a general message about that, because I'm going to link to the conversation that Brooke and I had in case you're interested in listening. Again, everything we talked about is really applicable to anyone, because we talked about water and some, oops, my alarm went off and stopped my recording. But I was saying that we talked about some things I didn't know about water and filtering water and what happens, and some ways that we can literally make water even more hydrating for ourselves, which was really interesting. We talked about the sun. We talked about sleep. And so like you could see some really basic areas of our lives that all of us can learn a few things from. And I think you'll really enjoy this tiny conversation. I think it was like 15 or 20 minutes with Brooke. And again, even though we sort of like geared it toward people who are caretaking, it's really people who are caretaking our own bodies as well as taking care of other people. And so I just kind of wanted to, I know this is, I kind of made this leap from telling you about my dear sweet Pop-Tart and my heartbrokenness to talking about Brooke and health, but it's actually not such a leap really, because one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, and actually Brooke and I talked about this in that conversation, is how important it is, obviously, to take care of ourselves when we're going through a really hard time. And especially grief is really exhausting. For me, there was a whole period leading up to the decision, of course, that we made when we sort of just finally knew that it was time to assist Pop-Tart so that she wouldn't be in any more pain. But up until that point, it's stressful. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, when is a time when we're making a decision for another little creature? And so even though it felt like a leap to you, in my mind, the two are really linked, because I feel as if I really want to take the best care of myself so that I can help myself, you know, to navigate these hard times. And this has been, you know, I haven't kept that from you. This has been a time where there's just been a lot of losses. And I love that as I'm telling you this, I'm listening, I can still hear those wind chimes that Ren sent me when several people had died at once, and also my little kitty had died. There were sort of all of those happened very close together. And she sent me those wind chimes. And when I hear the wind chimes, it's a way of acknowledging, oh yes, you know, I do think of them. And I, you know, just as it says on the wind chimes that I read to you, and it's a way of honoring the love that we feel. And it's a way of creating some beauty out of the heart, you know, the tender-heartedness, the heartache. And I think this is one of the ways that we can take care of ourselves, is when we're going through a hard time, whether it's grief or loss or any kind of difficulty, to make sure that we share it with people, and that while we're sharing it, we're helping ourselves to feel the all of it. And in this case, right, grief and love are so deeply, deeply, deeply intertwined. You can't separate them. And taking care of ourselves physically, as you'll hear in this conversation with Brooke, is one great way to really help ourselves to navigate the chapters of life. And as well, as you know, we're all just walking each other home, as Ram Dass said. And me being here with you, getting a chance to take this time, you know, every Sunday to just connect with you, is huge. I really never discount what that connection means to me and how it supports me. And I want you to know that, like, you showing up, you being on the other side of this, you know, when you choose to email me back or when you choose to, you know, join in the conversation in whatever way you do, it really matters. It really means a lot to me, and you mean a lot to me. And I hope that this simple message today will inspire you to go and listen to that conversation with Brooke, and maybe see if one thing drops in for you or jumps out at you that will help you to feel like you're really taking care of yourself, because you deserve it and we need you. All right. Love you.
Bye-bye.